Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. This is FST. I'm Chris Meaney, and we are live. Welcome inside. Happy Monday. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Dr. A from Inside Injuries is going to stop by. I know we've talked a lot about Max Scherzer and Josh Donaldson lately, but Scherzer, he had a bullpen session over the weekend. He's trying to throw a fastball with two fingers instead of three. Very, very interesting stuff and concerning for sure. And we've had, you know, talking to a lot of fantasy experts of what they're going to do. Let's actually talk to a doctor and see what's going to happen here with Scherzer and Josh Donaldson and a couple other players as well dealing with oblique injuries. So we'll talk to Dr. A about that. Jessica Kleinschmidt kicks off Fan Rag Sports Week. We're going to talk about a few players who are just undervalued, and we'll touch on a couple that I really like and just one really underrated player after a big offseason move that occurred. And we're not going to talk about Segura or Walker. Just a little tee up, a little hint. But first, let's get to some football news. That's right, some NFL news. Latavius Murray, it looks like he's going to test free agency. Maybe he is done with the Oakland Raiders. And if you remember Oakland Raiders, their whole backfield, it was pretty frustrating at times to own Murray because we had a bunch of guys sprinkled in. Jalen Richard came out of nowhere. He was fantastic at times. Washington stepped in, and actually he was pretty mediocre, but he was just in the way. So interesting to see what happens with Latavius Murray, as you see there, set career highs in touchdowns and receiving yards. All those backs in Oakland, they could catch. So there's a few teams that can need a back. One is Philadelphia. Maybe they go after him, but just keep an eye on this situation. Of course, football is going to really kick up here in the next couple weeks with free agency and with the trade and with the draft, of course, happening. So we'll talk a lot of football. But this, before we switch over, we'll also bring up Tony Romo because he's going to be a big talking point all summer long. And I guess when he signs and finds a team, or maybe he's traded, all the chips and all the pieces will start to fumble or start to fall, I guess, as well. Tony Romo, is he going to be a Denver Bronco? He's probably not going to be a Dallas Cowboy. Reports are that he's going to be released and not traded, but there's some reports out of Denver that they're definitely going to talk to this guy. Of course they're going to talk to him. I mean, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, they're not great options. So, yeah, if you're Romo, you're looking at Denver and you're thinking, yeah, they got a great defense. They got some great weapons, a decent running back play there with C.J. Anderson and, you know, Booker, who was pretty mediocre at times, but it's a good situation for him. I think that he should go to Houston, though. Keep it inside the state. They got a great team as well. It's almost given that Houston's going to win the division if they get Tony Romo. I mean, they're winning it with poor quarterback play at the position as well. So keep an eye on that. Romo is just an interesting player, interesting topic to see where he's going to go. I'm going to guess Denver, though. That's my guess. Either way, he's going to be fantasy relevant for sure. Okay, let's switch over. Hockey. Trade deadline is this Wednesday, and there were already some big moves over the weekend. We'll start in Tampa with Ben Bishop, traded to the Los Angeles Kings in a little bit of a surprising move, considering Jonathan Quick returned to the Kings this past weekend, stopped 32 of 33 shots in a 4-1 win against the Anaheim Ducks. But Quick has only played four periods all season long. It was his first start since opening day, where he suffered a groin injury. So Bishop is an LA King now. Peter Budaj headed the other way. Budaj, along with a couple picks, headed to the Tampa Bay Lightning. So what does it all mean? I suppose if you're a Bishop owner, you're a little bit down in the dumps right now, because this isn't a guy who's going to start every single day. Jonathan Quick is going to be the starting goaltender. Interesting move from LA. I mean, are they blocking a team like St. Louis from acquiring Bishop? Are they going to start him really a lot down the stretch? If they're in the playoffs, they're going to go to Quick. Either way, Bishop, as you see, is an unrestricted free agent. It could be the future goaltender for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Still can't get over that. But interesting move nonetheless. But really, in everything, just the grand scheme of things, it's Andrei Vasilevskiy who's the real winner here. He's going to get the majority of the starts with Tampa Bay. It's not going to be Peter Budaj. I know Vasilevskiy hasn't been great, but let's give him a chance. He's going to have an opportunity now as Bishop passes the torch to the youngster. Sticking with hockey, Martin Hanzel was acquired by the Minnesota Wild for numerous picks, a 2017 first rounder, 2018 second rounder, a conditional 2019. Ryan White also headed to Minnesota from Arizona as well, and this is just a great move for the Wild. They're just even deeper down the middle. All of a sudden, this guy is their third line center, slated to play with Pominville and Parisi. Eric Staal, in my opinion, takes a little bit of a hit, but Hanzel, you look at the plus minus, he's minus 15. That's just not going to happen in in Minnesota. If you're playing in leagues with hits and faceoffs, you may already own Hanzel. I don't think he's an immediate pickup, but he definitely gets a slight boost. To the NBA, Kevin Durant expected to play tonight. He's probable against the 76ers, dealing with a pinky injury. He suffered it over the weekend. He was able to return and play. He did not play against the Nets. I mean, they don't really need him against the 76ers, do they? But he is probable, so that's some good news for Kevin Durant if you do have him in fantasy. Also, sticking in basketball, Kyle Lowry missed the last two games with a wrist injury. I saw some reports he's out indefinitely. Dwayne Casey said it's not just a one-day thing. It's going to take some time, but the Raptors are playing the New York Knicks tonight, and let's just talk about DeMar DeRozan for a second, because DeMar DeRozan without Kyle Lowry has just been off the charts fantastic. I mean, he's 24 for his last 44, 76 points over those two games. What I've noticed, really, 15 for 16 from the free throw line, 12 for 12, just getting to the line. You get to the line 28 times in two games, it's awesome. 15 for 28 from the floor in one of his games as well. So DeRozan, play him tonight against the Knicks. Also, we'll talk to Dr. A about Kristaps Porzingis, who's not going to play in that game, what it means for him from a fantasy standpoint. And then finally, DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, it took him, 32 seconds last night to get his 18th technical foul. 32 seconds, so 18 technical fouls. That means you're suspended, bud, one game. But good on you, though. I mean, you go to a new team, you really try to change your attitude, and then 32 seconds into the ball game, you get a technical foul. I mean, this guy only played 21 minutes last night, had 31 points and 10 boards. Like, get it together. You're so talented. You're unbelievable. But you're a head case, man. You're a hothead. And finally, before we get out of here, Joel Embiid is out indefinitely. He's scheduled for an MRI, so that's not good news. If you own him in a redraft league, as good as he's been, I drop him, especially if I'm the outside of a fantasy basketball playoff situation. You need to get some players who are going to play. So Embiid, Sarge, he's the guy there. Okay, we're switching gears. We're going to talk some baseball with Dr. A from Inside Injuries. Scherzer, I mean, he's trying to throw a fastball with three fingers and not two. I mean, what's that all about? We'll talk to Dr. A about that. Plus Josh Donaldson, should he be worried? You're watching Fantasy Sports Today live. Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. I'm Chris Meaney. Let's bring in Dr. A from Inside Injuries, because Max Scherzer is looking to become just the third pitcher since 1893 to have at least 250 strikeouts for the fourth consecutive year. But Dr. A, he already withdrew from the World Baseball Classic. He had his first bullpen session over the weekend, but he's throwing his fastball with three fingers and not two. All the other pitches are fine. He's been dealing with this stress fracture in his right ring finger since last August. He pitched through it in the second half, went on to win the NL Cy Young. How concerning is this, though, to hear reports of him just, pitching with just three fingers instead of two? And just, to me, that's not good, and I feel like maybe he should just step on the sidelines a little bit. What's your take on all this?
So, you're right. The worst thing that you want to hear about a pitcher is the pain associated with pitching. And if you have to change your mechanics from a three finger to a two finger, that's already worrisome. One of the things about a stress fracture in the finger is the fact that the breaking pitch will get affected more than the fastball. And, Scherzer kind of mixes it up a lot, and that's why he's been so dominant. And so, yes, Chris, I would be worried, if I was a fan and a fantasy player on Scherzer, is because having a stress fracture in the fourth digit and having to change mechanics, and he's still in some bit of pain, is kind of a red flag. And so our algorithm is kind of down on him. His injury risk is pretty elevated at about 20 to 21%.
Are you surprised that he is still, even? I know he's behind everybody else in that rotation and throwing bullpen sessions, and I just mentioned he threw his first one, but are you surprised that he's actually throwing and not resting?
I'm not surprised, because Scherzer is a workhorse, and he does not like to listen to doctors, probably. And a lot of these professionals, they think that if they're not having pain currently, it's very difficult for them to see kind of long-term down the line. And, stress fracture in the finger for a right-handed pitcher, it is, in the throwing hand, it can cause significant problems. And, any little bit percentage of break loss on curveballs or breaking pitches will affect, the the pitch and his ability to dominate and mix things up quite a bit. So, you know, I would be very worried if I was a fantasy owner for Max Scherzer.
Yeah, and he's continuing to fall down draft charts, Dr. A. And I know I'm always one who likes to kind of jump on some of these injury guys. You get him out of a discount, but I'm certainly concerned definitely when it has to do with a pitcher. Let's move over to Josh Donaldson dealing with a calf strain. He was on crutches last week. And everything I read this morning is that he thinks he's going to be ready for opening day, and he's already taking swings in a cage. That has to be good news. Are you concerned with Donaldson's calf strain?
So the algorithm is looking at his calf strain, and it is not concerning too much. You know, he's not been injured in the past. He doesn't have a history of, you know, recurring injuries. And so, you know, the calf strain as a third baseman, it's grade one. And so he's hit his optimal recovery time. And so it's pretty much healed fully. And as a third baseman, he doesn't have a significant amount of ground to cover like outfielders do. So, you know, I think that he should be good to go. And the injury risk is low, and he's currently peak health, according to our algorithms.
All right, so he's another guy who's falling down draft charts. So, I mean, we just got the great advice from you. If he falls down, just go ahead and draft him. He should be fine. Let's talk about a couple guys who've been dealing with oblique injuries, and nothing severe. Zach Britton, he says he's fine now, and it was just a couple days, and he's okay. And Todd Frazier actually seems like he's fine as well, and is reportedly going to resume hitting today inside a cage. So I guess my question to you is, any if these guys had a separate back, that would be concerning, but is an oblique injury, and I know it's all about the severity of it, but is it worse for a pitcher than a hitter, or is it just the same?
Yeah, so oblique injury for a pitcher is a lot worse than a hitter, you know, especially for a closer that relies on velocity to get batters out. You know, a lot of the power comes from your core as a closing pitcher, and if you have even a little bit of an oblique injury, it will affect velocity, and it will affect the ability to possibly increase the injury risk again on that pitcher. So the good news is that the oblique strain looks like it's not even a grade one, and he's hit optimal recovery time as well. And so it's probably completely healed. The key thing for pitchers in oblique injuries is the fact that they have to let it heal and not come back too soon. It looks like in this case, he has let it heal. And so I wouldn't be too concerned from a closer standpoint, the fact that he's allowed it to heal completely. From a batter perspective, you know, there is some power derived from the oblique. However, it can be masked a little bit. And so, you know, the oblique injury to Frazier should not completely inhibit him, you know, from a power standpoint. So, yes, to answer your question, Chris, the pitcher will be much more affected if they don't allow enough time to heal. But in Britton's case, it looks like he has, and so it shouldn't affect him.
Yeah, well, we saw Zach Greinke miss a lot of time last year with the oblique injury, and we just saw the board for Frazier, 40 home runs. For people who have already drafted him, they want him to be fine. Concerning to hear you say that it could affect power. Let's move over to NBA a little bit here quickly. Kristaps Porzingis dealing with an ankle injury. No ligament damage. He was seen in a walking boot. He's expected to miss several days. The Knicks now four games out of the eighth spot in the East, or 12th in the Eastern Conference. Is there a good possibility here that Porzingis could be shut down for the rest of the season?
You know, the severity of the injury is a grade one ankle sprain. MRI is negative, no ligament injuries and no fractures. So he shouldn't be sidelined for the rest of the season here. However, the thing that's concerning is the fact that, you know, he's had a history of an Achilles sort of minor injury as well as a knee injury this year. So he's kind of battling through a few injuries at the same time. And the fact that he's over 7 feet with dealing with these lower extremity type injuries makes it difficult for him to sort of be at peak health. Right now, the algorithm shows him at elevated injury risk at 21%. So he's at currently a 21% injury risk, and he's above average at 67%. But, you know, he's not at peak health, and he's likely not going to get to peak health, you know, before the season ends. So although I think he can play, he's a cautious start. And, you know, once you have a bunch of these lower extremity injuries, you will see, and don't be surprised that, you know, these injuries will tend to recur, especially the ankle and foot in a big man.
Yeah, I mean, for a short career already, he's been hurt a lot, as you mentioned. All right, one more guy before we get you out of here, Dr. A. And before we came on, we saw Joel Embiid is out indefinitely scheduled for an MRI, but you're shaking your head. You kind of saw this coming, following Inside Injuries on Twitter and checking out all your work on the website. You guys had really seen this coming already from Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, when he went down with that knee injury and he had the initial MRI, and it showed that there was some sort of meniscal abnormality, but they were kind of wishy-washy and kind of describing it. Our algorithm characterized it as a grade 3 knee injury, which does indicate a meniscal tear, and we had listed him as below average and high injury risk at that time. So we're not surprised that he now is potentially being shut down for the rest of the season with a possible meniscal tear. And so, you know, math works, kids. So I don't know what else to say. Unfortunately for Embiid, it's sad to see him, you know, kind of battle through these injuries. Unfortunately, you know, the physics of the body and meniscal tears are recurrent in NBA players. And, you know, the algorithm got it right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you're the best. That's why we love having you on. Thank you so much for your time. And let's do this again next week, okay?
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. Dr. A right there from Inside Injuries. And get used to seeing him on FST. We'll do this once a week for sure. Really recap some of the injuries. We're going to move over. And again, if you own Embiid, just wait on the MRI results. It doesn't look good. He's probably droppable for sure in redraft leagues. Too bad, because he's been great when he plays. Jessica Kleinschmidt is in here next. It's Fan Rag Sports Week. We'll talk about some undervalued players in fantasy baseball. Stick around. We got NFBC founder Greg Ambrosius in here next to talk some fantasy baseball. Greg was a part of an auction last night, so he's going to share some of the thoughts, some of the details. Greg, welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. How's it going, man?
Great. Baseball's right here, isn't it? So really excited about it.
It really is right here. And for those who are new to auctions, and we'll get into some of where, you know, where people went at the price points and your strategy as well, but that's what kind of what I want to talk to you about off the top. For those who are new in auctions, what kind of advice can you give them? Should they have a sheet of paper with names that they want and the price that they're willing to pay for them? How do you go about this and tell people who are just first-timers in this strategy?
Yeah, you know what? Auctions are really, really popular in the NFBC right now. They're just we have 15-team mixed auctions, so $260 to build your 23 starters, and it is tough. I mean, most people go with a 70%, 30% split between hitting and pitching, which leaves you about $80 to $90 for pitching, and when you think about it, 1,400 strikeouts you're trying to get. You're also trying to get some closers. It's very, very difficult to build a good pitching staff, but that's the fun about this puzzle, trying to put that great roster together with everybody bidding. I mean, it's 345 players that you're bidding on, and I'm telling you what, it's so intense because every player, you're thinking if you want them or not, you know, and you're going through your notes, how much should you spend on them. It's really an intense 5 hours of baseball.
That's what I tell people who haven't done an auction. It's fun. I mean, realistically, you can get who you want to get. You'll have to pay up for them, but you really have to put in the right mindset because it can be long. So when you go about like putting a player up for nomination, when you nominate a player, are you nominating someone you want or are you nominating someone you don't want? You just want the whole field to just go ahead and spend. Is that how you go about things?
Well, early on, I do throw out players that I don't want. I want to get as much money out as possible from these guys. I want them to spend $40 per player. So I do nominate players that I don't want early on. Later on, if I do have most of the money or if I'm, you know, in a good position, if I know I need to target a certain player, I do nominate them and go right after them.
So let's talk about some of the top dogs. Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Clayton Kershaw. How much did they go for and was it a fair price?
Well, it's very interesting. We knew that they'd go for over $40, but Mike Trout was the first guy I threw out there. I wanted to see what the bar was going to be, and he went for $46. So very interesting. Then Kershaw went out shortly after him, and he went for $44. Now, the interesting thing about Kershaw is he really went 25% higher than the next starting pitcher. I mean, Bumgarner went for $33. Syndergaard went for $32. Scherzer went for $31. Kluber went for $30. But Kershaw at $44 was way out there. But then you also had Mookie Betts at $40, Arenado at $40. Harper went for $38. Harper's an interesting one because everyone's kind of laying low, saying, yeah, I want him to pick him at 12, you know, but everybody really does think he's going to bounce back this year. So he seems to be going higher in some of the drafts I've been seeing, and $38 was a high price for him. I got Altuve for $37.
Wow.
Chris Bryant also went for $37. So pretty interesting numbers there.
Do you suggest for people to go out and pay for some of these, like you just mentioned, 44 for Scherzer, and then just the big drop off from Bumgarner. Do you suggest people going after a Trout for the first time they're playing a Trout or a Scherzer, or Kershaw, or just let, you know, those people pay up for those guys, and then kind of just pay down for, you know, still supreme talent.
If I was a first-time player, I don't think I'd go that way. It's very tough to build your team after that. You got to be astute. You got to know who you want, a $2 and $3 type players. You know, really, this is how I look at it. I try to get a first-round pick and a second-round pick and a third-round pick. And when I look at the auction values, that really means a first-round pick is going to be $37 to $40. A second-round pick is going to be in the $30 range. A third-round pick seemed to be going for about $25. So I was really kind of looking at that, and I knew that I was going to spend about $95 on my first three picks. That's a lot of money out of $260, but you also don't want to have no first-rounder or second-rounder. So everybody does it differently, but I don't like to be left without one of those top stars.
Yeah, you mentioned Scherzer going for $31. He's really falling down draft boards lately. Touch on him, and are you worried about him?
Well, you know what? I am a little worried about that finger injury. It's on his pitching hand, and we had Dr. A on our show the other morning. Night, and he said he's worried about this being a lingering thing. So he went for $31. He's been a top 10 pick in the NFBC, but this week he went between 12 and 18. So, I mean, he is starting to drop a little bit. I think fantasy owners are concerned about that injury.
Yeah, I we're going to have Dr. A on Monday, and I know talking to him last week, he, you know, was a little bit concerned as well with that injury.
Yep.
And certainly, you know, he's going to throw a bullpen session expected to this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. But not having the proper grip on his fastball is definitely concerning. How did you go about your pitching? Because you said pitching was tough. Did you end up punting closer position a little bit, or how did you go about that?
Oh, I was so close to doing that. I mean, I was so late in the draft, I'm just like, I just can't afford saves anymore. I mean, I started out with Hamels at 19, and I got Carlos Carrasco at 24. That was higher than I wanted, but I got two good aces, I thought, up there. Then I got Marcus Stroman for 15, Drew Smyly for 8, and then I did end up going for closers, but real cheap ones. I got Tony Watson at 7, and then I went for the Reds closers. I got Iglesias at 6 and Drew Storen at 1. So I just couldn't avoid punting the saves, but I'd like to just be middle of pack. I didn't want to spend too much on them. Chapman went for 22. Kenley Jansen went for 21. So most other ones went between 15 and 18. So there were no bargains to be had for closers.
And I like Storen at $1. I think it's worth a shot. Why not? You know, you touched on Scherzer, injury, falling down draft boards. What about Josh Donaldson? What did he go for last night?
Yeah, you know what? That calf injury is also starting to be worrisome for people, and Dr. A said the same thing. I mean, how many times have we heard, oh, he suffered that ankle injury in spring training and was never the same? And, you know, Donaldson only went for $31. I mean, before the injury, he certainly would have been a $37, $38 player. Same in the NFBC. He's been top 10 all offseason, but now he's like 12 to 15. In fact, the other night he went 19th. So
wow.
I really do think fantasy owners are concerned with that injury. It may be okay. He may be off crutches soon, but I think it's a lingering injury that we have to be concerned about.
So you're concerned with him? If he was to fall down to 18, 15, 18, is that someone you're jumping on? Or is that somebody
sure.
You're just like, no, I mean, I just don't want to deal with this all year?
No, I would take him at that spot. I mean, then he's got a lot of upside. And that's with every pick. We're trying to get upside value. His ceiling would be so high, you just couldn't afford to pass on him. But the fact that he was in a boot and on crutches the other day is kind of scary.
Yeah, it is really scary. Just to see him, you know, ditch the crutches and just limp over to do an interview is certainly concerning for sure. You drafted Stanton at 20. You had him at $25. Touch on Stanton. I feel like this is a bargain, Greg.
It's very interesting because as soon as I did it, I felt dirty, like I had to go take a shower or something like that. You know, I got Altuve and I knew I wanted power. I wanted Encarnacion, but he went for $30. Another guy went for like $28, and I just was like, wow. When Stanton came up, I just felt that $25 when everybody dropped off, that the upside was there. If I do lose a few games, geez, at $25, I think I could fill in with somebody else. So, yeah, I'm trying to win it. So Altuve, give me some steals, and Stanton, give me some power. And then I got Polanco and Carpenter who can do a lot of different things as well. So I feel like I got some speed and power on this roster.
It's not like, you know, you look at Stanton, Greg, and I know you know this, but if you look at, oh, wow, if you just look at his game log and the season long, it's like, ah, he misses time all the time. But it just seems like freak injuries year after year.
Yeah.
It's nothing chronic, which is a good thing for sure. We only got about a minute left. Was there a surprise last night in the auction? Maybe he went too low or maybe he went too high.
Well, you know, I knew that Byron Buxton was going to get some love from people, but he really got some love. I mean, he went for $17, and, you know, his ADP is 146, so that's a high price to pay for somebody. But here's a guy that everybody saw in September, 9 home runs, seemed like he figured it out. The Twins are saying that he's going to come around this year. They're real excited by him. Well, again, our guys were very excited by him. $17 for Buxton, and then Peraza went for $15. So, again, there's another guy on the rise. People are looking for stolen bases and willing to pay for them, and we saw that in Buxton and Peraza.
We only got about 15 seconds. Are you willing to pay for stolen bases?
You know what? I like guys, like I said, like Altuve and Polanco, guys that can do power and speed. So that's what I was looking for. I didn't want any Judys on my roster.
All right. Well, Torrey Hunterla, a couple years ago, Greg, called Byron Buxton Mike Trout 2.0. We've yet to see that. Greg, we appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much. And good luck with this draft. You got a good team here, man.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. It's Greg Ambrosius right there. Some fantastic stuff. I'd like to thank Nick Giffen from RotoViz. Give him a follow on Twitter, RotoDoc, Daytona 500. Honestly, this guy, all he does is win cash. Don't you want to win cash? It's Friday. Have a great Sunday. Have a great Saturday. We'll see you on Monday.